This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today, inshallah ta'ala, as you have heard, alhamdulillah, the Imam has recited and completed Surat Nahl, and now he's moved to Surat Isra, and after Surat Isra, we move to Surat Al-Kahf. I want to just maybe state a disclaimer before I move on with my, I call it Tafsir Bites. The disclaimer is, I am not giving haq to this Tafsir. I am not giving it its right. Because when you have only you have a time constraint, and then you want to give Tafsir to Surat Isra, for instance. Surat Isra would take weeks. Surat Al-Kahf will take maybe months if you want to go to all the ayat and the rhyme, the lessons from it. So I want to, you know, as Allah is my witness, I am not giving haq to this tafsir. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive me. And also I ask for your patience, inshaAllah ta'ala. So these three surahs, Nahl means bee in Arabic. Nahl, bee, or the bees. And then Surat Al-Isra and Surat Al-Kahf, they are all Makki surahs. Surat Nahl is Makki, but there's one ayah in it that is Madani ayah. It's verse number 110, is a Madani ayah. But the entire surah is a Makki surah. So is Surat Al-Isra, and so is Surat Al-Kahf. Surat Al-Nahl is also called Surat Al-Ni'am. Al-Ni'am. It's known as Surat Al-Ni'am. Ni'am is the plural of Ni'mah, or as you say, Uldu Ni'mat, which means, see, I learned Urdu just because I need to speak Urdu with my beloved brothers and sisters, right? Ni'mat, hikmat, you know, hikmat, ni'mat, ni'mah. You know, it's they have to add the ta at the end. And you all, if you want to speak Urdu, Sheikhna, you always have to add hey at the end. Hey, like, yahal, hey, I'm kind of, hey, you have to have the hey. And then you speak Urdu. Sahih, yeah, is it true? You're all laughing. Am I right or not? Am I right or right? Right. So, what was I saying? The bee, Nahl. In Surat Al-Ni'am. Surat Al-Ni'am. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the blessings. Ni'am is blessings. He first, from Surat Al-Nahl, talk about the first ni'mah, the ni'mah of Al-Wahi, the ni'mah of revelation. And then from revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the creation of the heavens and earth. The ni'mah of the heavens and earth, the ni'mah of nutrition, you know, when he says about al-an'am and the animals that we are using, you know, to ride, to eat from, to drink from, to make our clothing from, the ni'am of our parents, the ni'mah of the kids. So many ni'am. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 17, wa in ta'uddu ni'matallahi. We can talk about all these ni'am, but you will not be able to enumerate these blessings. The blessings of Allah are numerous. You can't count them. You can't, they're countless ni'am Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then Allah also says, verse number 52 or 53, about His ni'am. He says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Any ni'mah that is bestowed upon you, it is from, not yourself, it is from Allah. This ni'mah of your job, this ni'mah of your house, the ni'mah of the car that you're driving, the ni'mah of the roof that you have. Everything, you cannot say it is all from me. I did it, I deserve this because I worked hard. Yes, you worked hard, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who blessed you with this, with your health so that you're awake in the morning and go and provide for your families. So everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ni'am of Allah azza wa jalla. What else from Surah Al-Nahl quickly? Ah, Nahl. Why Nahl? Why this Na'am of Nahl? Why the Surah is called the Bee? I have this beautiful example about looking into life with the eye of the bee versus the eye of the fly. What does that mean? Brothers and sisters, brother told me, please use chocolate. I'm going to start using my chocolate. It's taken from my time now. Where do you normally find bees? Where? Beehives? Where else? Where? Flowers, exactly. Where do you normally see flies? Trash. Who said trash? I heard, Pete. Give it to that boy, not you. Not the yellow t-shirt. Give it to the boy next to you. The boy, yeah, give it to the boy. He said it, but give it to the boy. So I say you need to look at life with the eye of the bee versus the eye of the fly. Be optimistic. Don't be, because you can, it's easy to go and complain. Complain about this, complain. It's always, you know, that people are always complaining. But you can yourself be optimistic and look at life with the eye of the bee versus the eye of the fly. And this is Allah Azza wa Jalla calls it, you know, this bee, al-nahl. Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered al-nahl, has ordered the bee to take the inhabitants from, or habitation from the mountain. You can see bee from the forest and whatnot. They followed the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In return, came out from them sharab, a beautiful drink. And this drink, it's called hasad. Fihi shifa. It has beautiful nutrition. You know, this asal. This asal is, you know, is honey. Aywa, honey, asal. So be like the bee. This is al-nahl. In Surah Al-Isra, what happens? Surah Al-Isra is also a Makki surah. When the Prophet Muhammad went through, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Prophet Muhammad went through so many difficulties and hardships, you know, from his people, from his own family, from Quraysh, when he went to At-Ta'if, and he got stoned from the people, from the lowest of the people of At-Ta'if. And then he went back. Look, Prophet Muhammad, he wanted At-Ta'if, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Medina. At-Ta'if could have been Medina if they were to believe and support Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, right? The Prophet Muhammad wanted the people of At-Ta'if. Allah wanted the jinn, because when Prophet Muhammad was coming back, you know, jinn embraced Islam versus the people of At-Ta'if. So Prophet Muhammad was heartbroken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to mend his heart. So what happened, there are several narrations as to where the Prophet was that night when Jibreel came to him, alayhi salam, with this animal called Al-Buraq. And then they took him, or he took him into this journey, amazing journey, the journey of Al-Isra and then Al-Mi'raj. First they went to Palestine. First they went to Al-Quds, and Prophet Muhammad did something amazing. What did he do before he entered Bayt al-Maqdis? He took the buraq. Do you know? Yeah. What did he do? Before heavens, he went, I owe you chocolate. I owe you chocolate. I'll give you chocolate later on, inshallah. But come to me after salah, after the prayer. The Prophet Muhammad, he took the buraq, the animal, and then he took the leash and he tied it around the post before he entered the masjid. The buraq was not to leave anywhere. The buraq had a mission to take Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Palestine, Palestine into the heavens, and to come back. It was not going to go anywhere. Yet Prophet Muhammad, he took the means. Just like when you leave the car, when you left your car, I'm sure you locked it, did you? Or you left it open? Go if you left your car open, go back and lock it. So I'm not saying like you're in the masjid, I'm just saying that the Prophet Muhammad took the means, but he put his trust in the Lord of the means. And then he led the salah. And there were all these prophets that Allah Azza wa Jalla has brought, you know, and then Prophet Muhammad, as was then, he led the salah. And then Jibreel took him into that amazing journey. Now came into Al-Mi'raj, the ascending into the heavens, whereby Prophet Muhammad, by the way, who knows this answer? Brothers and sisters, the sisters, they're just, I'm sorry sisters, wallahi, I'm sorry, I want to give you this one. Brothers, the revelations, you know, zakah, siyam, Prophet Muhammad was in the masjid, maybe he was in his home when the revelation came for siyam. In what house was he when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, you know, the revelation of the salah? In which house? What house? What, which of his wives? And what house? No house. It was not in earth. The revelation for the salah came. All the other commandments, all the other pillars, they were on earth. Except as-salah. The Prophet Muhammad had to be ascended into the heavens to get the gift of the salah. So in Surah Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about this, you know, the story of the Isra. And then after that, Allah Azza wa Jalla start talking about the Banu Israel and the struggle of Banu Israel, and then how they have caused corruption on earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the do's and don'ts. some do's and some don'ts. ولا تقتلوا أولادك ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فحشا وساء سبيلا ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق. Don't approach zina, don't even come close to zina. ولا تقربوا, he didn't say don't commit zina. Allah says don't even come close to something that's going to lead you to zina. Just a lot of do's and don'ts. Don't spend extravagantly, you know, all this. And then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts talking about the virtues, the merits of the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now Surah Al-Kahf, quickly, 2 minutes. Amazing surah. You all know Surah Al-Kahf. You all love it, don't you? It's a surah that has four stories. Four stories. The first story is the story of the people of the Kahf, some boys. Around 17, 16, 18 years old, you know, some of them, we don't even know their number, were they 5 or 6 or 7, how many were there. They happened to live in a time where in the Romans, where there was this man, you know, who was a ferocious and a dictator man. His name is Dukniapus. And then they stood up and then they went, and then Allah revealed to them to take themselves out into this cave, and the, you know, about this miracle of the cave. And then the second story is the story of the two gardens. Allah has blessed this man with lots of wealth. What did he do with this wealth? He attributed all that he has, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to himself. And then the third story is the story of Musa and Al-Khidr. And this story teaches you and I about the belief in the qadr of Allah and to accept the qadr of Allah. Sometimes things happen to us and you wonder why. And you may say, had I not worn my hijab, I wouldn't have lost my job. She was not wearing hijab. And then when she decided to wear her hijab, she lost her job. The day when you decided to come to Fajr in the masjid, you got into an accident, you know, or you had a ticket or whatnot. Sometimes you don't understand us why certain things happened to me. Why? I don't deserve this, you may say. Musa alayhi salam, he did not have certain answers. He went, and then Al-Khidr went and he wrecked this boat. And then why did you wreck the boat? The people were nice to us, why did you wreck the boat? Later on, he was to explain to him that in fact this boat, you know, if we were to leave it as is, we would have gone and reached this land, and this land lived this man who was this dictator. He would have taken the boat and killed us all. So sometimes you don't understand certain things. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla has saved you from, maybe caused you to have to go to some sort of hardship to save you from a bigger evil. And then the fourth story is the story of Dhul-Qarnayn. Brothers and sisters, why these four stories and what do they have in common? They're talking about fitan, temptations. The first fitna is the fitna of ad-deen, the fitna of ad-deen. The people of the Kahf. The second fitna is the fitna of al-mal, the fitna of wealth, the people of the gardens. The third fitna is the fitna of the people of al-ilm. Because Musa was asked, who is the most knowledgeable man on earth? He says, I. And Allah wanted to teach him, no, it's not you. Go and meet al-Khidr. This is the third fitna. The fourth fitna is the fitna of power, al-sultah. Dhul-Qarnayn, he was a powerful man, but he was righteous and he was good. He used to help people. Today we see that this is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, the Prophet, when he says, read Surah Al-Kahf, if you were to read Surah Al-Kahf, if you were to memorize the last of Surah Al-Kahf, you shall be saved from the fitna of Al-Dajjal. You see the connection? Al-Dajjal. Brothers and sisters, lastly, an ayah that would save your life. An ayah that would save your life. Verse number 23. Aywa, it is 23. Wala la? Sheikhna? You don't even know, huh? 23, Surah Al-Isra. 23, Surah Al-Isra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما.
Your Lord has decreed that you worship not but him and you'll be good to your parents. Ayah that will change your life. That you honor your parents. That you be kind to your parents. إما يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. When they reach a certain age, Maybe now they don't need your help. They can shovel the snow themselves, although you need to do it yourself, you know. Although they can do their own things on their own, they don't need you maybe, they don't need you at this time. But when they reach a certain age, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't even say, oh, again me, oh, dad, oh, mom, even that, oh, don't say it. Your father, who worked full-time, part-time, overtime to provide for you. Your mother, who gave up her dreams for your dreams. The most beloved title, listen to this and write it down in gold. Your mother, the most beautiful title on earth after the title of Anbiya, prophets, for me is mother. Mother, ummuk, 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 your mother, your mother, your mother. Huh? When your mother travels for Hajj al-Umrah, as I may have said here before, you don't have to tell her or remind her, mom, please make dua for me. In fact, she's born for Hajj al-Umrah just to be making dua for you. Your mother, you can never pay them back, your parents. Your Lord has decreed that you worship not but Him and you be good to your parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow His blessings upon our parents. May Allah raise our parents in the highest level in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our parents the companionship of Prophet Muhammad in Jannah. Those amongst us whose parents are alive, I ask Allah to guide them. I ask Allah to bless them. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them in this dunya and to reward them in akhirah. Those amongst us whose parents have passed away, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon their souls, inshaAllah ta'ala. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Again, I'm so sorry I took so much time this time. I promise I won't do it again. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.